Welcome to Under the Tooth, the podcast which aims to bring dentistry right to your ear, from general dentistry, specialty training, and everything in between. My name's Ilyas.
And my name's Asha, and today we have the wonderful Dr. Maruk Khawaja with us. Again, another guest who has came all the way from work to meet us, so thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So we've got loads of things that we want to ask you, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners want to hear what you're up to. So our first question is going to be, in your typical working week, what is it that you get up to?
So I think I have quite an interesting week in that I work 4 days in a general practice, and I've been there for a couple of years now. I graduated in 2010, so it's almost been 10 years of dentistry. I do mostly general dentistry, but I have an interest in cosmetic dentistry, and so quite busy days, 9 to about 5:30, and the rest of the time is really focused on empowering women in dentistry and my passion, which is well-being. So at the moment, I'm launching my well-being business. So a lot of the focus is on My Ninja. So even whilst I'm at work, during lunch break, I'll be working on ideas I have. I'm constantly writing. So it's a really strange kind of mix at the moment, where it's 4 days of work and a lot of creativity. So lots of ideas, brainstorming, blogging, writing interviews, and just planning for our conference.
Amazing. So you were talking about empowering women in dentistry. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So I founded this Empowering Women in Dentistry last year in April. And actually, I started off with a really small vision. So it really was born out of frustration. So I had a divorce about 3.5 years ago. I moved back to London and I desperately wanted to connect with dentists and was feeling really isolated working in practice and didn't really know how to kind of achieve those goals that I had and how to progress. And I just felt that all the courses I was going to and the conferences, though they were amazing, I was really upskilling, and it was really great, like meeting different teachers, and I loved that energy. But what was frustrating was the lack of female role models in more high visibility positions. So I wasn't really seeing women reflected in a conference setting or even at the course setting until I did one course out of many, many courses. And it was an orthodontic course by 6 Month Smiles with Marley Ajelnajad. And that was the first teaching I'd had from actually delivered by a woman. And I just felt that kind of sudden, strong connection and just this kinship with someone who had also gone through some difficulties and challenges to get to her position. And I just felt that she was, you know, and is a great role model for women, and we need that. You know, we need role models, we need diversity, we need equality. And through that experience, I went on to another course so it was a mini smile makeover with Dipesh Palmer, which is a great course with Enlighten. And at that point, I didn't know anyone in dentistry. And I had some conversations with Payman, who's the founder of Enlighten. I didn't know who he was, and I was complaining. I was complaining about the minimalist conference that he organized. This is how clueless I am. Like, didn't know who he was. I was just like in shock that how come there's no women speaking? Like, that's not reasonable. Like, why not have women?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so great, the lineup, but why not also include women? And we got talking, and through that, you know, and that frustration, I thought, okay, look, I don't know any active groups.
Yeah.
Let's set something up.
So it was a spark, an idea in your head one day. You just thought, let's go ahead and do this.
Yeah, I think it was... I think it kind of started, it was born through that, really. So going through lots of courses, feeling as though there weren't women represented. And then that conversation, and I thought, okay, let's just do some interviews with women. Let's connect. Let's find out what the real issues are. I really thought, coming more of it at a journalist angle, I'm much more comfortable writing than I am leading anything else. Actually, that's my like comfort zone. So I thought, this is great. I'm gonna write some stuff. I'm gonna give it to BDJ and practice. I'll give it to a few other people that publish some articles, and we'll just, you know, have this open conversation. And then through talking to Payman, he was really, really helpful. And you know, he suggested, well, why not, you know, connect with other women? Why not just set your own thing up? And so I did. So I set up the blog initially, and then worked out social media and how to kind of use that to find a voice. And at that point, I didn't know my voice. It was literally, let's raise and lift other women up by telling their story. I don't need to be disruptive at this stage, but let's just have an open conversation. And then through that, I started collaborating with other dentists and set up a YouTube channel. And we did some videos and podcasts. And then the idea for the conference kind of came about. And, you know, through that journey of about a year or so, I discovered my passion, which was well-being as well. And it kind of grew from there. Yeah, it just grew from there.
And I think that, like, the empowering women in dentistry is such a big part of dentistry, and it's going to be, like, insane. I think it's going to blow up. But I think that it's empowering people in dentistry as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a problem with our profession, actually, at the moment, that there has to be this culture of competition. Mm-hmm. Now, within every profession, there's going to be a culture of competition. But personally, I feel in every setting, whether it's hospital or practice, that people don't seem to be able to lift each other up. And it's mm-hmm. just exactly what you're saying in terms of sisterhood. And that I think if people kind of had a better understanding of working together, we could achieve more, and we could all support each other and lift each other up. Why do you think that people don't do that? Or why do you think that females have this issue?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think there's lots of different reasons, but I think the main thing when it comes to dentists is when they're presenting at conferences and to each other, it's often by conveying their work. It's a very showy, offy profession. You know, you compare it to medics. Medics aren't going around showing, you know, oh, this is a beautiful, you know, surgery I did, or it's just set up so differently. I feel like there's a lack of realness. So it's giving this kind of illusion that you're perfect and you've achieved a lot and you're productive. And actually, what would be really beneficial is if everyone kind of connected, you know, leading with their vulnerabilities perhaps a lot more than they do. And I can understand why in lots of ways. A lot of us are type A personalities and we're perfectionists and we want to convey a certain image. And often the social media pages are set up with patients in mind. So they're not just, you know, for other dentists. So there's a certain kind of disconnection in that way. But I feel like that's like a key reason why. But it certainly doesn't need to be that way. There's room for all women to grow and progress. There isn't, you know, just one woman that can shine, or one man. You know, we need to kind of represent, you know, the sexes equally, and also just make it more diverse as well. I'd love to see more cultures and ethnicities kind of represented in a real way. And I'd love for dentists to open up with their vulnerabilities and their kind of their struggles to get to their position would be so beneficial to the younger generation. And even us. You know?
Social media in itself, everyone just portrays all the positive sides of things, and I think that's one of the downfalls of social media in general.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
Something I wanted to ask you was, why do you think women aren't being represented in these sort of big places? Because I remember when we were at dental school, there's more females than there were
males. Yeah. I was thinking
what's happening?
Yeah, it's so multifactorial. There isn't that, you know, there is that one thing. I think there's a few things. I feel as though women don't necessarily have that big vision. And that's also a lot of factors that you know, we could really explore that. I mean, society doesn't necessarily, you know, gear you up to have this massive kind of or big dreams. It's very much based on your looks, how thin you are, and if you're a wife and a mother. And so you do have to kind of fight your way through that and kind of work out what your jewels are and your passions are, to kind of work out what you can do. So I think that's one element. Part of me still really feels there's a boys' club, and I feel that there certainly is, you know, there's people in power that perhaps will then get their friends along to you know, run the courses. And that in lots of ways makes sense, but that's frustrating. It would be really lovely for men to invite women to the table, but equally women need to create opportunities themselves, you know, really put themselves out there. And one thing that's missing, I feel like, with our training is leadership and business skills. And for women especially, imposter syndrome is something very
prominent.
It's very prominent, yeah. And I feel as though that could be addressed in lots of ways, so that women could have the courage to maybe kind of step
out
there.
Yeah. And I think that that's happening more and more with opportunities, but I think that that's something that should be implemented within curriculum undergraduate training, because leadership's within dentistry, you're a leader in any settings, whether you're
in practice, in your surgery,
you're leading your nurse, your patient. Even as a dental nurse, you take the lead in some aspects.
Yeah.
Within dental labs, technicians, hospitals, there's just so many areas. And I think a lot of people specifically in practice think, oh, leadership, what's that got to do with anything? It's not to do with us. We work in practice.
Mm.
Nothing to do with that side of things, but it's not like that. For example, you're taking the lead. Because you have now started your business, you've started Empowering Women in Dentistry, and you've proven you're not the same as me in terms of talking. I'm very out there. You're quite quiet, but actually you don't need to be a certain type of personality in order to do these things.
Yeah, I think that's key, really. So when I was growing up, I really feel like I was fed those messages. And I feel like that's still around, isn't it? You know, being extroverted is really celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, if you look at the CEOs of companies, a lot of them are introverted. And you can certainly succeed, and you can have, you know, parts of both. And that's absolutely fine. It's just kind of really being self-reflective, I think, and personal development, that's really, really key. And you're right, you know, leadership, all of these skills are so important. They're, you know, considered soft skills, but, you know, they're just so important. They're so paramount. So why not explore them?
And they're very much prominent in a lot of professions that are not to do with dentistry. So why aren't they included within ours? I'm not sure. And I hope that that's a change.
I feel like it should change, and it will, you know.
I think it's becoming more awareness. I think a lot of people are realizing that it's needed, and it's not just leadership and management, it's good leadership that is needed within our profession.
Yes,
and I think that's
definitely
where the training need is. You were talking about your conference, so you said big vision as you were talking, but that happens to be the name, and I'm so excited for this conference. And I know Ilya really wants to ask you a question about it, so tell us a little bit about what your vision is for the Big Vision conference.
Well, the idea really is to, you know, really move whoever comes to the conference and to kind of shake them out of the hamster wheel and wake them up to get them to notice what might be missing, what they kind of want to get back to or want to create, and just dream a bit bigger. And that's the goal. So if I can, I mean, that's a pretty big goal, but it's almost as though, I guess, in lots of ways, I've been really inspired by TED Talks and going to TED events. And I'd love that, to love to achieve that through Big Vision. But I'm combining dental, business and well-being in a really unique way. So the idea is to have really open kind of conversations around these big topics and go beneath the surface and, yeah, really stir up some drive and motivation and passion back into people's lives.
It's a big vision. Yeah. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
So it sounds really exciting and you've really described it in a nice way. But is it only for females? Is it something that anyone can attend? Is females your target audience?
So anyone can attend, but I've deliberately have just women on the stage.
Okay.
I want to see more women represented. So for me, it felt completely right to invite more women to take centre stage. So that's the goal. There will be more women that naturally attend this because there are topics that might interest perhaps women more than men. However, anyone's invited. There will be men there.
He really wants to come, and I think that's important that males are empowering women.
Yes,
in dentistry
I think that's key, and certainly what will happen next year, because I'm thinking about this, is I will invite men onto the stage, and it will be more of a let's move the conversation forward, and let's see how men can empower women as well as women being empowered. So that would be my next step. But initially, I just want to kind of open the doors and invite everyone in. And this is a conversation. It's going to be a journey. It's going to take time. So, let's dive
in. It's insane. It's a big vision, but it's an exciting one. I can't wait. You have been a dentist for 10 years, you said.
Almost 10 years.
Next year. How have you managed to stay in practice for that time and not digress essentially? So although you're doing other things within your working week, what keeps you motivated within a practice setting to prevent you from feeling that you want to stop dentistry or completely leave it? What is it that empowers you?
It really has to come down to your why, and for me, it has to be connection with patients. So every day we have this really unique, opportunity where we get to meet, 20, 30, people. And we have the privilege to be helping them with their journey through life. And that's essentially our role. We're not fixing teeth. We're just helping people to achieve better health, and we're just working with them. So I think that really motivates me. A lot of the time I spend talking to patients and connecting, and I've been there for a while now, so you really get to go on the highs and lows with them, and I love that human side of things. If it weren't for that, I would have left a long time ago. I certainly love that human side. And a lot of the times it feels like a therapy session, and that's joyful.
Patients I think a lot of people maybe they do have that image of a practice dentist sitting, drilling, filling teeth, that's what they do. But actually patients come in and they have that time or that chance to talk.
Yeah.
And a lot of them will talk. And if you see the same patient again and again, then you build a relationship and a rapport with them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not always with every patient. There's not always time for it. And plus, not every patient wants to do that, But there'll be lots of patients that will open up to you, and you'll learn, about their cancer, about their divorce, about their real struggles. And you connect on a real human level, and that's joyful. That's what we're here for in lots of ways. So that keeps me going. And I love the courses that I'm doing and the training. Just meeting other passionate people is really key, and just improving what you're offering to patients. and you know, you can really make a difference to their self-esteem. So I think that's pretty magical.
Yeah, and I think that you're highlighting, you know, patients might come and discuss the challenges that they face, but in terms of the challenges that you've faced within getting to where you are, or even on a day-to-day basis within dentistry, what would you highlight to people that are either in the profession that may want to relate with you, or maybe some students that are coming into the profession, or potential dentists or dental healthcare professionals?
The challenges, well, there's so many, aren't there?
Yes.
I think initially you're just very overwhelmed, and I certainly felt like that graduating. I didn't really feel as though I had all the skills, and I knew I needed to skill up quite quickly. So there was that immediate pressure. So I think, you know, looking back at it now and reflecting, I'd say take your time. Don't be so concerned about your UDA targets, and just choose your practice really wisely. You're in a unique position where you are self-employed and you have the choice to go and work in a different practice. So really, you know, be careful where you work. I had some really negative first experiences coming out of dentistry, out of university, so my VT, plus the job straight after VT as well. So like back-to-back difficult experiences where my bosses, both of them use kind of bullying kind of tactics, and that was frustrating. What's interesting also through my interviews with other women, what really came out strongly was that you don't have to be a certain type of woman or man to be bullied or, you know, harassed. It affects everyone, and I think it's really important that we learn to kind of speak about it, and learn to kind of address it a lot earlier. You know, we don't have to stay at that practice if it's impacting us, and so I would really encourage young dentists to not feel trapped. You don't have to stay at that practice, just get the hell out of there. And there's great opportunities out there for you. It really isn't as scary as what your university might be telling you. And, you know, litigation is real, but honestly, like, it's not as frightening as you think it is, dentistry. Just take your time, you know, be cautious, but skill up, and you're going to love it. So just really focus on you as well, which is super difficult to do because, I was lucky in that I didn't have social media, obviously, when I first graduated. So there wasn't that constant comparison. But I really feel like younger dentists need to kind of be mindful of the messages that that they might be telling themselves when they look at these beautiful composites, because it takes a long time. It's a certain skill. It is artistry, and you don't need to be having perfect composites, and you can be an excellent dentist, and it will just take time, and that's okay.
And I think that's really important, because I think that for young professionals looking at, for example, Instagram, now, it's great that social media now is a place where people can put their portfolios up. That helps for jobs, it helps for them showcasing, and even like brings about discussions within the profession about the work they're doing. But I think that it's also really important to be mindful that in order to get to that perfect composite that they have on that Instagram page, they have had the non-perfect composites that they've maybe had to redo. We've all had them. I mean, I don't do composites anymore, but if I did, I'm sure it would have taken me a while to get to the way that it's in. And I think that that's so important, that people don't use social media for looking at other people's work and thinking, I'm rubbish. And it's the same for image as well.
It's good to inspire you. Definitely. To see that you can improve in your work.
Yeah.
But I guess not to say to yourself that crap, because I can't achieve that right now, because like I said, everyone's journey will be ever so slightly different.
Yeah.
I actually remember when we were back in dental school, we were looking at those images on Facebook and Instagram, and then looking at our own fillings and saying to our tutors, look, they don't look the same.
No.
I still remember our tutor that was saying to us exactly what you guys have said, that it takes so long for you to get there, and it's sort of development as opposed to
day one.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes time.
And I think it's important to remember that the dentists are human as well. I think that it's great to have a professional page with your work and to, you know, obviously some areas of dentists is a business aspect, but we are human, and being human on social media is not being unprofessional. There's
yes,
a fine
yeah.
line, and I'm very passionate about, you know, people if you're hiding yourself, some people don't like social media, and that's completely fine. You don't need to portray your life on it, but we are human. You don't just wear your scrubs every day with your lips on, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really important as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's really, really key, and it would be great if more dentists would actually share their failures. That'd be good. But this is where it becomes a bit difficult. If you have a business page, it's super obviously not possible to do that. But
yeah.
if you had another page, that'd be great. And that's one thing I want to bring to the conference as well. So we have panel discussions, and the dental discussion is all on orthodontics and avoiding failures. So it will be, you know, the orthodontic experts talking about things that went really, really tits up, basically.
Okay,
and
so
how you flip that. Yeah.
Hearing those stories is quite good for us as younger sort of professionals.
Yeah.
Because it means that we know we're not alone. Somebody
exactly.
else has gone through the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so great about your conference, even for other women to know that they can achieve that sort of path.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's only when you can see something that you can
yes,
really envision
can,
it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And work
I think that's
it.
So key. Yeah.
So for people that are listening, when is your conference and where is it?
So it's 30th of November this year, so a few months away. It's
exciting.
In, yeah, really exciting. So it's at Liverpool Street, St. Ethelberger Centre, which is a beautiful, it used to be a church, and now it's a very just gorgeous place where they've got lots of meetings and concerts. And yeah, it's great because there's a courtyard and a meditation tent, which is Moroccan. It's actually Moroccan, so you can smell
oh, wow.
like the goat skin. And yeah, it's so different from your usual conference.
And I think what is even more amazing and should really be highlighted, you've not said it, but where is the money, the proceedings going? So
yeah, of course, so all the proceeds go to MIND, so it's unique in that it's a non-profit conference. Normally conferences
what
are,
is MIND for those that don't know?
So MIND is a mental health charity. It's very, very prominent, and they're doing great work to raise visibility on mental well-being, and that's something that really aligns to EVD, and also just something that needs to be addressed within our, you know, dental community and the profession as a whole.
And it's nice for people to come to know that they're contributing to that, because
yeah.
a lot of these conferences, which is great, people need to have a business and they need to progress with their careers, but I also feel that sometimes our profession you know, may overdo it to each other, that all these conferences cost so much money, and they're not, the proceeds aren't going to charity or anything like that, and it makes it difficult for people to then network and integrate, because some dentists may be in a different type of setting, they may only be working half part-time, they may not have their own business. So I think it's really nice to have it, and you've got a student discount as well for all the students
yes,
out there,
I have,
which is
yeah.
important.
So I think that's really, really, really good. Yeah, I just would love to see lots of people there. So students, dental nurses, receptionists, just
it's
the whole dental team. Yes,
okay.
yeah. So
oh, really
in terms of dental lectures, we have three. The rest is business and well-being.
Okay.
So a lot of, you know, women and men want to know about how to set up their business. So we've got experts talking about that, lots and lots of talks and interactive sessions on well-being. So it's a completely different experience. It's way more than your educational kind of conference. Kind of just goes beyond that, and that's the idea.
Really nice networking opportunity as well, I think, to meet people.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
We've been talking a lot about dentistry, but I really want to, I'm actually really intrigued to find out if you weren't, or if you didn't go get into dentistry, what do you think pathway you would have chosen, or what can you imagine being or doing?
So I for sure would be a psychotherapist, and actually I am training to be a counsellor. And my idea really is to train as a CBT therapist. So I want to do both. But yeah, I would definitely just be in the world of therapy. I did a psychology BSc during dentistry and went into clated BSc.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah.
Always had an interest and passion in psychology, but just didn't realise it, you know, when I applied for dentistry. And yeah, I love learning about what makes people tick and why they react a certain ways the way they do and their behaviours. And
they're very related, dentistry and behaviour.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, so we learnt psychology at university level as well. We did health psychology, and that was probably one of my favourite subjects. And what was just really cool, now I think having graduated and been working for a while, you really kind of appreciate the importance of it. You know, we're helping to create different behaviours and habits, and we can't do that without appreciating psychology. And also emotional intelligence is massively important when you think about communicating and empathy with our patients and with the dental team. So I think that's key. Emotional resilience is absolutely massive if you're gonna, if you want to have a long kind of dental profession. So all of these elements are, you know, underpin
so
psychology.
Important. Yeah, and I think it's really interesting as well, coming from Scotland, when I came down, quite a lot of people down south as an undergraduate student do intercalated degrees, which it's not really prominent up north as much. It's not really seen as, it's intercalated as an option, but not many people choose it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the reasons behind why. It just didn't even cross my mind. It wasn't something I was going to do.
Yeah.
Which in hindsight now, I think I would have probably been quite interested. Do you advise undergraduate dental students to consider doing an intercalated?
Yeah. So even when I was doing the intercalated, there were very few people, and probably still the uptake isn't massive. If you compare it to medics,
yeah,
intake is a lot higher. For me, it's really actually helped me with my next kind of stage in life with my business. But I definitely recommend it, because when you think about it, it's a degree in a year.
Yeah.
That's a great opportunity. And there's so many cool options out there. So if psychology is not for you, you could learn more about business. There's just literally so much knowledge out there. And,
well,
and it's powerful.
Did it in philosophy.
Oh, amazing. So, I mean, that's just great for life. So a year to learn more about some great theories.
Out of dentistry, really.
And I think that now, once we've graduated and we're working, we're considering going back and doing other qualifications and doing them, that it's, why would you not do it while you're also studying?
Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it?
And it's really interesting when you hear people that have done it. And I don't think I've ever spoke to anyone that wishes they didn't do it. I think everybody said, yeah, I'm so glad I didn't intercalated.
Yeah.
Was it strange though, leaving your year and then going into a different year because you were then, you'd done a year out essentially?
Yeah, of course that was difficult. But having said that, the benefits were so huge. So I did psychology with lots of medics. And so my best friends out of uni became my medics, actually. Friends are still, I'm really close to them. So I don't think it's a negative. You make friends again.
Yeah.
You know, you meet other people, and you're still friends with the year above your old year.
Yeah.
And that's
you're
fine.
Still part of all their kind of tops, and you're not shunted
still,
out the year.
Exactly.
Good.
Yeah, so it's not quite like that. It's not as isolating as you might think it is.
Because I think
just,
that's people's fears sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that was my fear, actually, was that, oh, I can't leave my year and go to the year below. That's just weird. But I know that the people that left our year, they went and did other things, but they were still included very much in the year. And I think it's really interesting. You've achieved a lot.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. So, you know, I would jump at it again. You know, if I had another opportunity, I'd do something else as well. You know, just loads of degrees. It's good. What's really cool is now, actually, we've graduated, we can really choose what we want to study. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think when you're kind of studying, you just want to graduate, don't you? So maybe that's why people don't do it. But I was thinking about this with A-levels. I would love to kind of have the opportunity, not to do A-levels again, I mean, to have, you know, three, four, five subjects I can go really deep into and learn about. I love that kind of idea. And even GCSEs, we learned so much, didn't we?
Yeah.
To be taught about such varying topics is
amazing. At such a young age as well.
Yeah.
As well. I think... obviously you're doing Empowering Women in Dentistry, you have Mind Ninja as well, which is your business and well-being and health. Do you think that doing these outside of dentistry has allowed you to maintain your like positivity towards dentistry? Do you think that that's important for people to consider doing other things other than, you know, just being in practice or just being in hospital?
Yeah, I think it's really important. To just be focused on a career is never a good idea, I don't think.
Yeah.
So to have interests and passions, you know, outside of it will just make you a better dentist. You'll be more productive, more energized, more focused, and you can just really give it your all when you're working. So yeah, I definitely advise you to have passions outside. And like you said, you'll get more energy and excitement when you are actually with your patients, and you're just going to feel a whole lot healthier. Yeah.
Because I think that that's the way things are going now, towards more mixed or portfolio careers and lots of different things. But I think people are still a bit, feel it's a bit taboo or scared of, you know, when they graduate, they should be picking a career pathway or going a certain way, which I really think that it's really important that people do know that, for example, yourself, you're not just doing one thing. You're doing a few different things, and that's okay. It's not, you don't need to be the textbook dentist. Even if you are working in practice, you can still do
things. I definitely agree. And I feel as though there could be more kind of awareness of that. So it's really good that this podcast exists and there's an emphasis on that. I certainly didn't know that you could have a portfolio career.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, you know, you either choose oral surgery and go down the hospital route, or you be a GDP, which is what I chose, and you just work as a GDP. But what I've learned now is that I could do cosmetic dentistry at a high level, and I could do community dentistry, and I could work with, you know, children or special care patients, and that's okay. I've met those women, I've met those men doing it, so I know it's possible. It's just not really spoken about, and initially it was just not knowing how it happens, which was really which is a frustrating part. If you don't really know how to go about it, you feel a little bit trapped. So I think it's really, really key that we share those stories.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're getting people like you on, because we want to highlight that it's okay to do other things, and it's not an issue. And we've absolutely loved having you on.
Oh, thank you
so much. But we have a very important question that Elias is dying to ask you.
We usually have a sort of fun question
on
each podcast. We've thought to keep it consistent. So
So
if you've heard other podcasts, you might be able to guess. But the question is manual or electric?
Electric. Definitely all the way. Just love the feel of electric. Plus, when I'm being mindful, it's just, you can really get in. So if I'm practicing mindfulness, I wake up and I get out of autopilot mode. I can really, hone in to the sensation of the electric brush, and it's like a massage for the teeth.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's great.
It's a little mind massage. I've never actually thought about it that way. It's so interesting to hear people's interpretations. And I know that we've asked you the signature question, but actually talking about that, as I had a patient the other day who we were treating her, and she was essentially zoned out, and I realized that she was meditating. And
amazing.
She meditated out.
Like,
whilst in the chair.
Yeah.
And it was the most amazing thing to witness, because I've seen her zone out, and I went, did you just meditate? She's like, yep. And I thought of you, actually, because I was thinking, you know, this is something that really could be offered, obviously to dentists and things, but patients, I mean, they practice that. They can really conquer fears, because I know we do have hypnosis in dentistry, but... This was a different, this wasn't hypnosis, this was like proper meditation, yeah. zoned out, and oh, even I felt the calmness and the aura, like yeah. as an operator.
Yeah, it's
it
really
was
powerful,
weird.
Isn't
yeah.
it? It's an energy. So yeah, I think that is being done, actually. It's probably just not very,
it's not prominent at the moment,
yeah.
I think, but
yeah,
yeah. So yeah, it's interesting.
There's
when you're
definitely
talking
implications,
about the massage
yeah.
of the toothbrushing. I was like, yeah, so interesting. But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
We're so excited to see everything with the conference as well. I'm so excited to come. So everybody listening, you'd be crazy not to sign up.
Where can you get tickets from?
So it's on Eventbrite, but you can get tickets via the website landing page. So it's
okay.
evdbigvisionconference.com. Okay. So you'll be able to get the tickets.
And we'll put Maruk's Instagram and everything up on Instagram, our Instagram, so you'll be able to see it at Under the Tooth as well. And I'm sure you'll be more than happy if people want to ask you questions or get in touch with
you.
Yeah,
definitely. Just drop me a message or email me. I'm always up for kind of connecting with other people. So, yeah, that'd be great.
And everyone listening, I'm sure we'll see you at the conference. So come along to it. So thank you so much for listening, guys. If you have any questions, then you can email Instagram us at Under the Tip. And we have loved you having you on, so we hope you've enjoyed it too.
Thank you so much. It's been amazing.
Okay, bye guys. Thank you.